Hi, welcome to Go to the Word Radio Broadcast, a ministry of Faith Baptist Church in Ontario, Ohio. I'm Pastor Dave Davenport. Today we're studying in the book of Judges, and we're in chapter 1. I trust you'll have your Bible open, and stay with us for the next several minutes as we go to the Word. I'm going to ask you to take your Bibles this morning and turn with me to the book of Judges. To start a new series on this. We may skip it in 2 weeks for Father's Day, but at this point we're going to be drilling into the book of Judges, partly because the narratives are so didactic for our day. One of the themes that comes out very deliberately in the book is that there was no king in Israel, therefore every man did that which was right in his own eyes. And if that does not sound like America today, I don't know what does. We are in a pretty amazing time on the calendar of the Lord. With that said, I want you to notice that I've titled the message this morning, The Course of a Nation. I want to put it a little bit differently for you. We're going to title the message, The Course of God's Nation. Now, maybe it seems like a small adjustment, but there are very few countries that have ever been established deliberately with God at the forefront and at the center of everything. And so making the connection between Israel as God's people in the Old Testament, we can certainly see a lot of principles that do apply to America, which was also founded upon principles that were very much rooted in God's Word. There's a lot that we can learn from history, and looking at the book of Judges may help us today. We're going to be looking at the preface to the book primarily, which is a little lengthy, but I'll try to hopscotch you through it. This is a transitional book. If you came out of the book of Joshua, you would know why the beginning or the preface is as it is. Joshua, toward the end of his tour, if you will, as the leader of God's people, brought all the people together at one point. He says, choose you this day whom you will serve. And he gives them a choice, draws a line in the sand, as it were, because the people were kind of being left to their own devices now. He knew he was not going to be leading them in great exploits and conquests anymore. They were going to have to take up the mantle and do things on their own. Interesting thing about our Christian life is it's very much left to us as individuals to cultivate a hunger for God's Word. However, we are much like the people of Israel were in that eventually they came to a place saying, give us a king. You know, they didn't want to rule themselves. They didn't want to be responsible for their spiritual welfare or their political welfare, for that matter. And as a result of that, they asked for a king. And it's not unlike we in our day. We want the pastor to be the professional Christian, and then everyone else can come and just say, that's really wonderful. We'll go home now and go play. The Christian life is a Christian life, okay? And we went through the book of Acts recently, and we saw that the people were scattered everywhere preaching the gospel. So the people were preaching, and the Bible says God was adding to the church daily such as should be saved. Did you notice that? Daily, not just Sunday. It's every day. We're supposed to be seeing people get saved in our midst of our congregation. And so I hope that we will see the things that God would have us see, even though sometimes it is against our nature to want to see those things. So the course of God's nation. When we look at this book, look at verse 1 of chapter 1. The Bible says, now after the death of Joshua, it came to pass that the children of Israel asked the Lord, saying, who shall go up for us against the Canaanites first to fight against them? Now Joshua's gone, right? And so what are they doing? They're taking the initiative. Lord, we ask you, please, let us know who shall go up. It's very likely that this inquiry was done at the tabernacle. You know, Shiloh was where the tabernacle was for like 400 years. And they probably went to the tabernacle. They probably went to the high priest. And they had this thing called the Urim and the Thummim. And they were like little stones of some sort. Yeah, black, white, whatever. We don't know exactly. It's kind of a mystery. But it was kept inside of his ephod, and he would pull out and get answers somehow. God would give direction. Very interesting. Somebody asked an old farmer, you know, well, what do you think the Urim and the Thummim was? He says, I don't know, but I've been using in the thumb and mist for a long time, and it works real well. Okay, so using in the thumb in your Bible is where you go now. You don't go to the high priest looking for a Urim and a Thummim. So I want to encourage you to realize that you and I can also get our answers. If we'll just pray,
And that's a big deal as individuals who are priests under the Lord. The Bible says you are a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people. You and I have direct access to God.
And so I'd encourage us all to realize we need to use that.
These people were starting well. Joshua's off of the scene. The people go and ask God who should go first to do some conquest. And the Bible said in verse 2, and the Lord said, Judah shall go up. Behold, I have delivered the land into his hand. This is not something that would startle them, because in fact, the people of Judah were going to be the place where the rod, you know, was going to be ultimately the scepter. You know, it was never going to be a time when they wouldn't have a king come out of Judah. Reuben had lost his birthright. You know, he was the oldest, but Judah's going to be the firstborn inheritor because of everybody else being disqualified till it got to Judah. And so Judah gets to go up first. Makes perfect sense when you see the Old Testament's context. But not only that, the Bible says, behold, I have delivered the land into his hand. Now, notice this. It's already done. But they still got to go. Now, when you and I look at the book of Joshua, and really this preface really couples with that very nicely, understand that the Bible tells us that we are already seated with Christ in the heavenly places in Ephesians chapter 2. We're already there. But you still have to, chapter 6 of Ephesians, take on the whole armor of God, right? So there's still a battle to be won. The victory is ours. The Bible says we are more than conquerors through Christ. And so therefore, we have already been made conquerors. But there's still a need for us to go in and take the land. You know, we often talk about the song, you know, on Jordan's stormy banks I stand and cast a wistful eye to Canaan's fair and happy land where my possessions lie. I'm bound for the promised land. And we look at the Old Testament. They cross the Jordan. They get into the promised land. Well, the problem with that connection is to as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become the children of God. Right now, right? The Bible says, he that has the Son has light. It's right now. That means that you and I are already on victory ground. We've been given a promise that he will be your rear guard. He will go before you. He will follow behind you. He will protect. He says, I am with you always. Isn't that good to know? He's with you right now. But the problem is if we don't understand scripturally what the Bible teaches, we won't understand that we still have to fight. Paul talks about that I want to do, I don't do. That I don't want to do, that I do. He says, I perceive, therefore, a war in my members. That means I'm going to have to do some fighting to keep my equilibrium. The Bible talks about the adversary of the devil walking to and fro. So when you see the Old Testament and the people of God in Israel and this book unfold, you're going to see that really represents for us. It's true in history, but it represents something for our admonition, instruction, and learning. Because this is a macrocosm, big picture of the microcosm, little picture of your life. If you do the things that God would have you do, already we've seen one, pray. God, what should we do? How should we proceed? And notice it says, who shall go up first? Judah's chosen to go up first in your life. You might say, Lord, what do I need to address in my life first? You see, the little battles in your life are many, but there are some things that are more of a threat to your spiritual walk than others. See what I'm saying? So when God's being approached, you start with some adoration, some thanksgiving, get your mind around who he is, and you move on to confession. Lord, I'm sorry. This is me. Here I am. I'm telling on myself. And then you go to supplication eventually, and you say, Lord, what is it I need to deal with? Now, that's getting down to the quick, isn't it? That's getting down to the bone. Because sometimes we don't want to go there. The Bible says men love darkness rather than light, for their deeds were evil, so we want to kind of keep things close. We need to be those who are not those people, but rather the ones who dwell in the light. He that abideth in the light goes to the light, that he might know whether his deeds are wrought in God or not. We want to be the people who are walking in the light and walking, Ephesians again, as children of the light. Now, in setting the stage here, he's told who to go, and so forth. And the Bible says in verse 3, "And Judas said unto Simeon, his brother, come up with me into my lot, that we may fight against the Canaanites, and I likewise will go with thee into thy lot." So Simeon went with him, and Judah went up, and the Lord delivered the Canaanites and the Perizzites into their hand. You may recall the splitting of the northern kingdom from the southern kingdom after Solomon went off the scene. Rehoboam was Solomon's son, and Jeroboam was the one who would be king in the northern kingdom because God was going to break the kingdom in half. Well, when the kingdom's broke in half, Rehoboam said, everybody suit up. We're going to go get back, you know, the northern kingdom and bring them back under our subjection. You know, they're going to be subjected to our throne here. And the Bible says that a prophet came to Rehoboam and says, don't go. He says, this thing is from me. Now, the beauty of Simeon being solicited to go with Judah is that that was a cooperation among folks of like mind. You know, as a nation, we've only really had one person who was like-minded with us, and that would be Israel in its truest sense. We both honor the God of the Bible. They don't understand mostly that Jesus is their Messiah, but Judeo-Christian ethic was ours, and so we had much to be enjoyed there. So when we see this solicitation for Simeon to go with Judah, realize that's not a bad thing, and it wouldn't be a bad thing for the kingdom to split. God said, this thing is for me, because then you could play off of each other. Little challenge. You know, who's gonna really love God more? Do you know it's good to have somebody who loves God around you because they make you feel a little bit guilty about maybe not loving him as much when you need to be loving him more or whatever? You know, the Bible says iron sharpens iron, even as a man sharpens the countenance of his friend. So we make each other sharper. That's why we need the church. I heard a man say on the radio this week, and I thought, wow, that's good. He said, people think of the church as being there for them, but the church is not there for you. You're there for the church. You are the church. If you don't show up, there is no church, right? That's true, right? So the building's nothing. It's the people. And so we see, you know, the dynamic of helping each other. I heard Alistair Begg on the radio as I was driving in this morning, and he was talking about how if you take a heap of coals, you know, they play off of each other, and pretty soon you got a good fire, and you can cook on your grill, whatever. He said, but if you take one of those coals off and set it over there, well, what happens? That one goes out. And a lot of people maybe absent themselves from God's house, and they kind of go cold. And we have to be mindful. We need each other. So that big hearty handshake and that smile means a lot. Don't sell it short. If you would say, I'm making an investment of my talent, if the very least you can do is show up and smile and, you know, encourage somebody else, think about it. We all need encouragement. You know, and so do what you can, and then hopefully their fire will help your fire and we'll have something going on. Well, interestingly enough, they went, they won because God was with them. Bible says we're more than conquerors. Bible says that greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Well, they went in, they won. So what we see in the course of a godly nation is that we start out as winners. Aren't you glad? We do. The problem is that we drift. The Bible talks about that in Hebrews. Be careful lest things you've been given drift. And when he says down here in verse 5, what happens in this first victory is we learn something when we're winning. We learn that God is just. They found a man in Bezek, a man named Adonai Bezek, which means Lord of Bezek. Okay, so this was the king in Bezek. And he gets caught and they cut off his thumbs and his great toes. And he says in verse 7, 70 kings, having their thumbs and great toes cut off, gathered their meat under my table. As I have done, so God hath requited me. This king knew God was just.
Well, that concludes today's portion of the message. This has been a ministry of Faith Baptist Church in Ontario, Ohio. And I'm Pastor Dave Davenport. I hope you'll join us Monday through Friday for our verse-by-verse studies. And we hope you'll tell others to tune in as well. If you'd like to contact us and learn more about our ministry, go to faithbaptist1.net. You can also download recent broadcasts on our homepage. We hope you'll make it a point to tune in daily as we go to the Word.